And as you stand, turn to Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to read this morning from Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. And a parallel of this event is also in Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. But I'm going to preach from Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And since we all probably have different versions, I will read. And if you would, listen, please. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." But he answered and said, "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it to be you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I would like to speak for a moment from this thought: in God's waiting room. In God's waiting room. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, realizing, Father, that we're all always seem like in your waiting room, waiting for our next assignment, waiting for you to heal us, waiting for us to tell us what thus saith the Lord. But Lord, help us to be patient as we wait. It's not always easy, Father God, but we know the reward is worth the wait. So help us, Father God, to think about the reward and not necessarily what we go through and what we have to go through. Lord, we realize that you're right there with us, for you say you will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to be receptive to your word. It's in Jesus' name, amen. In God's waiting room. I was talking to my wife. By the way, they've left me for a week. Actually gone to Florida for a week, she and her siblings and her mom. But I guess Riley's 11 now, and I guess she was about maybe between 1 and 2. And we took her to the doctor, of course, got a normal checkup, and her white blood count was high. And we really didn't understand what was going on. And Riley's doctor was so concerned that she sent us to the hospital, and we stayed probably 3 or 4 days. And every so often they would come in and draw blood and check, because her doctor was afraid that she may have leukemia. But, of course, we waited. Every day I would go to work and I would come back, and we would just wait and wait and wait to hear something from the doctor. And we never did find out what it was. But during that time, it was difficult. Are you praying to God, "Lord, please," praying that it's not something, certain things. But however, we want to know whatever it is. We have to know what it is before we can actually get it fixed. Or know how to maintain or sustain her as she deal with whatever it is. But in the waiting room, how often have you been in God's waiting room? And it's hard to just wait, not knowing. And that's the hardest thing in the meantime. Because we know at some point, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, at some point in your past, he saved you. And you know where your future is, your destination is, but it's in between times when we don't know what the next moment is going to bring. Life doesn't make sense as it unfolds in front of us. As we take one step, a moment, a minute, an hour, we don't know. And then it seems like we go through seasons, right? A lot of things you say you wouldn't do when you were much younger. Now you've gone through those things. And now you can tell those others that say, "I won't go through that." You say, "Keep living." Because you don't know what you're going to have to go through. And as you go through it, you don't know what you're going to do in the midst of it. You can say what you hope you would or would not do, but we don't know what we might do. Just pray that, Lord, I don't want to embarrass your name. Lord, I don't want to get in the flesh and stay in the flesh for too long. And people may see me when I'm in my flesh. And they may not know that I belong to you. But just like this woman, we're going to look in this story this morning. And she was in God's waiting room. And the word of the Lord reads, verse 21. Then Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So Jesus has been ministering, and if you had noticed Jesus, if you look at the pattern, he would minister, and then he would go to the next place, and he constantly move around. But he always stayed in the Israel nation, never going outside. And even on this specific time, he had been ministering, and actually they were still in a way to get away from the crowds. Mark tells us that he was trying to get away, and he went into a house. But Matthew doesn't tell us about the house. It's one of the reasons when you study the Word of God, you want to make sure you follow the trail. If it's in the synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, read all those to give you a bit better picture of what's going on during that specific time so you understand the context. So he went right to the edge, and when he was in that region, this lady heard about him. And not only did she hear about him, but she knew enough based on what she had heard that she needed to get to Jesus. So how many of you coming this morning really looking for Jesus? And why did you come to church? Young people, you come to church because your parents say you have to come to church? Sooner or later, you're going to have to make up your own mind. And then what are you going to do? It's easy to say, well, I'm here worshiping, praising God, because you have to. Well, not necessarily worship and praise God, but you have to be here, right? Young people. Because in my house, you're going to church. Well, now it's easy because the girls can't drive and we can't leave them at home by themselves. But sooner or later, but not as you stay at my house, if you're 30, you're going to church. But I want you to want to come to church. I want you to want to come and fellowship with other believers. Now, we realize you don't have to come to church to meet with God. And Jermaine Dolly, you heard this song? Come and knock at the door. Jesus is at the church. So come back to Jesus. You don't have to come to church to go to Jesus. But you might want to come to church to fellowship with other believers, to encourage one another. You know, if you look at the Word of God and all the one another passages, to stir each other up, to motivate each other, to encourage one another, to tell others what God has done for you. But she heard about Jesus. And what did she hear about Jesus? Bible doesn't tell us that, but based on why she came to Jesus, it's implied. She might have heard about blind Bartimaeus when he was by the road and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He probably didn't even know where he was because he's blind. He just said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they tried to say, be quiet, be quiet. But the more they told him to be quiet, the louder he got. Because he was in a desperate situation. He needed his need met. So we should come to Jesus Christ because we know he's able. And even if he does not meet our physical need, he can meet our spiritual need and give us the wherewithal to keep running, even in the physical condition that we're in. Or she could have heard about the woman with the issue of blood that she pressed through and got down and touched the hem of his garment. And the word of God said immediately she felt that the blood had dried up in her. And Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And of course, your faith has made you whole. She could have heard about the man that brought his demon-possessed son to his disciples. And Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. When he came down, the man came to him. And he was telling about this demon that threw him in the water, threw him in the fire, trying to kill him. But Jesus exorcised that demon. She could have heard all that. So with that much faith, she came to the same region, looking to the one that was able to satisfy her every need. And she said, Son of David. So this is pretty interesting. If you realize, I think Mark talked about she was a Canaanite woman from Syrian and Phoenicia. So the Canaanites had no dealings with the Jews. all the way back in Genesis, when after the flood, Noah actually got drunk, sleep naked. Son saw him, Ham came out, told his older brothers about his daddy. They backed in, covered him up. And when Noah woke up and found out what Canaan had done, not what Ham had done, what Canaan had done. So Canaan is Ham's son. And of course, you know, he cursed Canaan. And then even as Abraham went through, God told the children of Israel to go into the land of Canaan and drive them out to destroy them. So she knew the history. And Jesus also teaching us as well that the word of God, the grace of God is for everybody. So Matthew was writing pretty much to the Jewish believers. So Matthew was telling the Jewish believers that the gospel is for everybody. Everybody. So there is nobody beyond the grace of God. But how often do we look at people and don't even go over and tell them about the grace of God? Think that they're too far. They're too far even for God to save. And then we look at people's lifestyles and make that determination. But who are we? Who are we? But the grace of God is sufficient for everybody. 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 So she heard about Jesus. And she said, "Have mercy, O Lord." So the Son of David is speaking about his humanity. And Lord is speaking about his divinity. And how can one call Jesus Christ Lord except the Spirit of God? So the Spirit of God is drawing her. Drawing her. She might not be able to explain it. Think about when God started drawing you. Think about when he started drawing me. I didn't know what was going on until I got on this side of the door. Then I realized it was God drawing me the entire time. You know, people say, "I could have died out there." No, you couldn't have. Because your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You couldn't have died out there. You had to come into the family of God through Jesus Christ. And I'm sure you had some experiences where you had an experience with God, but not experiencing God. But God's hand's always been on you if you belong to him. Always. He had you in his protective custody. Even when you were out there and Satan thought he could have his way with you, he could only go so far. And God kept you. Even in our foolish decisions. Even when we were doing everything we were big and bad enough to do. God still limited that. Because he's sovereign. And he was going to bring you to himself. But she said, "Lord, Lord, Son of David, have mercy." Now that mercy speaks to her physical need. But you can't have grace. You can't have mercy without grace. That's the two sides of the same coin. Mercy is holding back what we deserve. Notice she didn't say, "Lord, give me what I deserve." Because she knew her position, because she was a Canaan woman and he was a Jew. Just like the Samaritan woman. "Why are you speaking to me? You know we don't have any dealings with one another." But Jesus tearing down the wall of petition based on Galatians and made 2:1. She said, "Oh Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Because I have a need. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon." Severely possessed. And mercy also speaks to how Christ came to earth. He had mercy on us. If you're saved today, he's extended his mercy to you. He's like a mercy dispenser. Nehemiah said the mercies are renewed every single day. David fell down on the mercies of God in Psalm 51, the multitude of your mercies. Because every time I sin, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your grace. I don't want justice. Foolish. People think I can get to the gates of heaven and say, "Lord, I've weighed my good and my bad and my good outweigh my bad." All of it's bad. All of it. And you shouldn't stand before God on your own merit. Your righteousness is but a filthy rag. Now, how are you going to stand and say, Lord, I deserve to get in? Based on what? You don't even know how to please God. God is otherworldly than we are. We can't even think a thought to please God on our own. Read Genesis chapter 6. The intents of the heart, everything that flowed out of man was evil continually. There was never, ever a stop in the evil. Every moment of every day, of every week, of every year. Evil, wicked thoughts. And how is an evil, wicked, dead soul man going to please a true and living God? So we want a mercy. So, Lord, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Severely. Just think about the demoniac. He had a legion of demons in him. And we saw the result. He was cutting himself. They couldn't bind him. He lived in the graveyard, just running. But when Jesus showed up, the demons brought the man to Jesus. And he said, who are you? Exercised his authority over the demons. Demons said, we're legion because there are many. And if you look at that word, legion, it could be between 6,000 and 10,000. Because just think, when they left out of the man, they went, got in a herd of swine, and there were 2,000 swine. And they went in there, and of course, we know the swine rushed down and killed themselves. But Jesus Christ has power, period. There is no limit. We can't even fathom the limitlessness of his power. So she knew where to come. And she knew how to ask Jesus for what she needed. Jesus, have mercy. Have mercy on me because my daughter is severely demon possessed. But then look at verse 23. That still boggles my mind. But he answered her not a word. And we heard about this Jesus everywhere in Scripture just about. They say he was moved by compassion. I mean, he left heaven to come to earth because of his compassion. And yet this lady traveled a great distance to get to this man that she heard about, that he was able to fulfill every need, and she cried out to him, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter's demon-possessed. But he answered her not a word. So what do you do when God is silent? And you're sitting in the waiting room. Then you have to rehearse. What do I know about God? And it's easy for us that's been walking with God a long time. We have a history. And we know experientially what God has done for us in our lives. But what about this situation that she has no history? None. She just heard about Jesus. She's not have any experience that she can pull from with Jesus. And brothers and sisters, this is where we go to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith kicks in. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or what are you hoping for? 1 Timothy 1:1 say Jesus Christ is our hope. So he is our hope. So our hope is built on Jesus Christ. And we have to stand on that. Even if we don't have anything else to stand on, we have to stand on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Then the substance of things not seen. Of course, we go outside and look, the heavens declare his existence. The creation declares there's a creator. Amen. But if I don't have anything to stand on my own, what about your parents? When your parents brought you up, were they standing on the hope, which is Jesus Christ? And you saw how he brought them through. What about your neighbor? What about your people in the church? That's the reason you need to come to church. So people can tell you about their experiences with God. And then you can listen to testimonies like we had Thursday. It just still moves me. When people are able to tell you what God has brought them through. Because as I look out, I see your glory, but I don't know your story. And you want to tell people your story. So people can know, yes. And that God brought you through that? Yes. And that? Yes. And that? Yes. And let me tell you this. He's the same God and he can bring you through. He might not necessarily bring you through the same way he brought me through. You might not necessarily have all these scars that I have. Or you might have more scars. But the reality of the situation is God is able to bring us through. But we have to have our hope in him. And we have to stand firmly on him. And then we can read Hebrews 11. It, man, blesses my heart when I see. And you know the nature of all these people. They were just like us. Abraham, he lied 2 or 3 times. Had sex outside of marriage. All these things. And God said he was righteous. Because justification declares us righteous. Not based on our own merit or our own righteousness. We have none. But when we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ and he gives us faith, at that particular point in time, we will exercise our faith, we're justified, declared righteous as if we have never sinned. And then we're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when God sees you or I, he looks at us through the blood of Christ. But he answered her not a word. And not only that, and his disciples came and urged him, pleading with him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. So get this picture in your mind. She's not just saying, oh Lord, son of David, one time. She continuously cries because her situation is desperate. And she realized if Jesus Christ does not fix it, it will not be fixed. So I got to cry, Lord, please have mercy. Have you ever been to the end of yourself and realized, Lord, if you don't show up, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. So she constantly cried and the disciples got irritated. Christ, send her away, for she cries after us. Now, it sounds like get rid of her. Tell her to go, but that's not necessarily what's being said here. It's just like if somebody come to you and say, hey, man, you got any spare change? 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 Like, goodness gracious, here you go. Go. I'll go borrow some spare change. Come on, here you go. I know it's rare. My daughters and I were over in Red Bank, and we went inside the restaurant, and I've never had this before. But it was a lady came in the restaurant with a sign. Like, goodness gracious, I've never experienced this. She came over to our table like, man, it really caught me off guard because I've never experienced that. Usually, you know, the proprietors never let people come in to panhandle. But it was as if she was panhandling. And they were saying, Lord, please, whatever you need to do, cure her daughter so she can go. And that's when Jesus said, Jesus answered, not her, because he's not talking to her yet. He's talking to his disciples. 24, but he said, and he answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So he's reminding his disciples, look, I wasn't sent to her. I wasn't sent for her. You know, when he empowered the disciples and sent them out 2 by 2, he told them not to go in the land of Gentiles, but work with the lost sheep of Israel. Even in the book of Acts, first of all, of course, it was to the household of Israel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto all those that believe, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. So once again, he's teaching them a lesson. It's for everybody, but not right now. It's for the lost sheep of Israel first. But once again, he's teaching them a lesson. You remember when he told the disciples to feed all the people? Like, hey, we can't feed them. We only have this. And the word of God said he said that to test them. So he's testing them now because he knows what he's going to do with the lady. But look how persistent she is. Then she came and worshiped him. She came and worshiped him. In spite of all her obstacles, she came and worshiped Jesus Christ. In spite of she calling out and he did not say a word to her. Some commentators say she was back and looking at him and she could tell they were talking, but she couldn't understand what they were saying. But in spite of all that, she came and worshiped him. So while we're in our waiting room, we must pursue God. We must come into his presence and we must worship him. And when we worship God, we've taken our eyes off any and everything else and narrowing our focus on him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 said, looking unto him, which is the author and the finish of our faith. Not looking unto them, but looking unto him. When Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration and Moses and Elijah showed up and Peter didn't know what to say, the Bible said. So he said, let's build a tabernacle for all three of you. And God reminded Peter, this is my beloved son. This, not them. This is my beloved son. Worship him. Hear ye him. So we have to worship, get our eyes off our situation and worship him. Because he's worthy of all of our worship. The Bible says we can't serve two masters. So we're going to have to serve him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first. And we have to have God first above everything. The second thing should be way away from the first. Because only then, when we have our right focus and worship on him, everything else falls in line. But if we have everything out of order, then we're going to continue to be out of order. And we're going to seek things that we shouldn't be seeking because we should get our direction from him. Everything we do should be aligned with him. So she came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I don't know what else you have on your agenda today, Lord, but I need you to help me. You don't realize my daughter's at home. And we don't know if she left her daughter at home by herself. We don't know if she left her home with her other children or a friend or whatever. It does not matter. But we know she was desperately seeking her daughter to have mercy. Not only her daughter to have mercy, but I know when my child was sick, I need something as well. I have no peace because my daughter is sick and you feel so helpless. You know, you do if your daughter's hungry, your child hungry, you can solve more, fix that if you have the means. But when they're sick, you take them to the doctor and the doctor says, well, we can't do anything else. What do you do? You know, and that severely possessed daughter could be anything that you're dealing with today. Whatever it is. But God is able. And sometimes he says no. And therein lies the problem. And then we might try to do more than we should try to do because we don't want no. We want what we want when we want it. That's the reason we have to bring it back into worship. When we worship him, we're willing to accept whatever you say, Lord. Let thy will be done. Let your will be done, Lord. Just help me to accept your answer. Lord, help me. And then she had an audience with Christ. And all the other people are still standing around. Don't lose that. They're still standing around. The disciples are still there. And I'm sure all the eyes go on this woman as she makes her way through the crowd. Right at the feet of Jesus Christ. She falls and says, Lord, help me. And then you have to persevere. Persevere. And look what he says to her. 26. But he answered and said, it's not good to take the children of bread and throw it to little dogs. So what do you do when you get an answer that you don't expect to hear from God? But she was not deterred. Because she was desperate. She was desperate. Don't lose that. When we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said we can do nothing without him. Nothing. And when we come to that realization, we're always desperate coming to him. Because everything we need, he has. So we're desperate, begging, pleading, Lord, help me. So whatever he says, it's only a test. It's only a test. And it's pretty interesting. Matthew talks about bread here. So if you look at how this story is situated, it's situated between feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000. And it's all about bread. It's all about bread. And after he fed the 5,000 men plus women and children, they picked up 12 baskets of crumbs. And then after he fed the 4,000, they picked up 7 baskets of crumbs because they were not letting anything waste. He broke the bread. You cannot break bread without making crumbs. So he talked to her about not taking the children's bread, throwing it to little dogs. And the little dogs here actually are little dogs that you would keep in your house that would be under the table. How many of you have dogs? I mean, how many of you have ever fed a dog from the table? Don't show your hand. I know we had a boxer. We had a boxer called a Roxy. We had Roxy since 2000, I think, and she would actually have her put down, I think, in 2015 or 2014. Well, we hardly ever fed Roxy from the table, but every now and then she would come begging. She would beg. She would beg, and I'd like, get away from me, Roxy, because we didn't want to create that habit. But every now and then, guess what? Things fell over. And she was down on the spot. Because she was waiting, hoping against hope. Please, somebody, give me something. So this, it's not a big, you know, big wild dog. Jesus is not talking about that type of dog, but he's talking about the little dogs that they would actually keep in their houses. And he's saying, we won't take the bread and throw it to the dogs. He's just saying the bread that belonged to the Jews belonged to the Jews. However, when it falls over, that's what she's saying. Wait a minute. Even the little dogs eat the crumbs when they fall from the table. Now, look at Jesus. If you think about just what happened, Jesus is on the edge in the region of Tyre and Sidon. He's not in the center of the table, so to speak, in Israel. But he's on the edge, and she's right on the edge. She's not coming in, but she's right on the edge. And when it fell over, when Jesus Christ showed up in this region, she was saying, you are a crumb, and that's what I need right now. You're right what I need. When I needed, you showed up on time. Old saying says, he may not come when you want him, but he's always, always right in the nick of time. So she recognized that. Jesus, you are the crumb. You are the crumb. I don't want anything belong to anybody else. I just want what you're going to provide for me. And this is at a point of my deepest need. Deepest need. And then 28. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith. How often did he tell the disciples, oh, you have little faith? Other words, oh, you have no faith. When they were on the ship and the ship starts to flood and they went and woke up Jesus. Jesus, do you not care that we perish? And he rebuked them. Many times in Scripture, people had little faith. One man and his son was demon-possessed. And Jesus asked him, do you have faith? He said, Lord, help my faith. But the centurion said, Jesus, I'm not even worthy of having you come into my house. And he said, what great faith have I not seen this faith in all of Israel? And this woman heard about Jesus Christ. She had a problem. She fell down and worshiped him. He called her a little dog in essence. But she felt her need was so much greater. You can treat me any way you want. You want to treat me, Lord. I'm at your mercy. I'm begging for your mercy. Even the crumbs. Just give me a crumb. I don't want a big piece of bread. Just a crumb, because I realize that there's more power in the crumb than I ever need. So I don't need a big piece of bread. I just need a crumb, because the crumb is sufficient. And then he said, great is thy faith. Now that's what God is looking for. Faith. Faith. I said this sermon title is In God's Waiting Room. But as you are now in God's waiting room, our faith is in God's wait room. In the exercise room. And our faith is getting a workout. And as we get closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, we got to increase our faith. Because God is going to demand so much more of you. He's not going to demand the same he demanded from you way back when you got saved. But you're going to need increased faith to do the very task that he has assigned for you. Surely this lady didn't think that ever that her child would be demon possessed. She probably saw other kids demon possessed, but she might have thought, not my child. You see other kids, other children, kids, other parents' kids doing something, and you're like, not my child. You see other people doing something, husband cheating on wives, wives cheating on husbands, and you said, no, I will never do that. My wife would never do that. But you don't know. You don't know. But you have to exercise faith regardless of where you are. Because your faith is critical. Critical because only by faith can we please God. It is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because you have to believe that he is. And he is a rewarder of those that diligently, purposely, intentionally seeks him. So she sought him. And we see the result. And he said, then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. I mean, she traveled a great distance. Went through denying access to Jesus. He didn't even say a word to her. Disciples saying, send her away. She finally came down and worshiped Jesus Christ. He went back and forth with her. But at the end of the day, he said, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And then as her daughter was healed from that very hour. So what do you do when you find yourself in God's waiting room? Because we're all in God's waiting room. Heard it explained this way. We're all at the airport waiting for our plane to come. And we see other people leaving. No parents leaving. Grandparents leaving. Brothers and sisters leaving. Going to heaven. But we're waiting. Waiting on our flight. And one day, brothers and sisters, our plane is going to leave. But what will you leave behind? Will you leave a legacy of faith that your loved ones said, I know that that person belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ? Talking to Sister Pat this morning, she says she knows her mother was saved. Think about Elder Hardaway. Heaven seems closer now to me since he's gone. But great is thy faith. And then we should be able to say, Lord, you're able. As we wait in the waiting room. Lord, you're able to do abundantly above all we can ask or think. But we're going to trust you by faith. Trust you by faith. Brothers and sisters, it gets hard down here sometimes. Hard. I know a preacher, he had been preaching the word of God for many, many years. And one day, they were involved in an accident, and his whole family was killed. His wife and four kids killed. So, and he struggled with that. Lord, how are you going to take my kids and my wife? And I've been preaching and proclaiming your word for a long time. Matter of fact, he was so troubled, he stopped preaching. And he was walking down the street just feeling sorry for himself one day. And he saw this man over here chiseling this rock. I mean, it was a huge rock, and he just had a hammer just chiseling. And he went back, and then the next day, the man was still chiseling on the same rock. And, of course, curiosity got the best of him. He said, sir, what are you doing? And he stepped back and looked up. He said, you see that hole way up there? He said, I'm getting this rock ready to fit in that hole up there. So, brothers and sisters, that's what God is doing for us in the waiting room. He's chiseling and chiseling because he wants us to fit way up there. And in the meantime, that we got to exercise our faith. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to exercise our faith. Every day we should ask the Lord, Lord, give me an opportunity to exercise my faith. And Lord, I'm just going to sign my name on this sheet and you fill it in, and I'm going to follow what thus saith the Lord, because I know you're going to give me things that are going to conform me to your image. But we have to trust him. We have to trust him. And if you're not trusting him for deliverance of sin, if you've yet to trust him, here's your opportunity. Because believe it or not, whether you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ or not, you're in the waiting room. We're waiting. Hebrews 9:27 said, there has been appointed unto man a time to die, and then the judgment. So death is coming. You know, we don't like to think about that, but it's coming. And brothers and sisters, we don't know when our time will come. But while we have time, we need to come and worship the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out to unto him, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I need your salvation, because I have no righteousness of my own, but I need you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for your word. We pray, Father God, that